It's Wednesday, September 9th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. It's been a day of electronics for me. Just got the shipment of the new studio laptop that we'll be using to produce Normal Show Live on these live remotes that I have over the next, I guess it's four shows that will be out on the road. So I hope that technology really pays off. I'm sure it will, and the quality of Normal Show Live will prove it. And again, thanks to all you Stashers who donated to help get that material purchased. We've got all sorts of interesting things on the Stash blog that won't make it to the podcast today, including a statement from a former WWE, that's World Wrestling Entertainment, diva, female wrestler, who went by the name of Ariel, otherwise known as Shelly Martinez, said cannabis saved her life after a near-fatal overdose of prescription pain pills. And a cute story out of Colorado where at an army base they discovered wild feral ditchweed growing because they had transported it from Kansas, where the Hemp for Victory produced a lot of hemp for victory. You can actually see the Hemp for Victory video. I've got it posted along with that post at our blog, stash.normal.org.
It's 420 somewhere.
Taking a look at our normal calendar of events, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Tomorrow, Thursday the 10th, there will be sign holding at 72nd and Dodge Street in Omaha, Nebraska. Nebraska Normal's trying to get the word out for marijuana legalization. Mason Tvert from Safer will be a keynote speaker at the Joplin Normal's Cannabis Revival. It's taking place Tuesday through Sunday. We've got the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association having the All Things Cannabis Seminar. This is a CLE seminar for lawyers to get continuing legal education credits. It'll take place Friday and Saturday in Portland, Oregon. More signholding from Normal, Nebraska, this time in Lincoln, Nebraska, on Friday at 16th and O Streets. And on Saturday, the Monolith Festival begins in Denver, Colorado at the Red Rocks Amphitheater. Mile High Normal will be tabling there Saturday and Sunday. Also on Saturday and Sunday, the Portland Hemp Stock takes place at Kelly Point Park. I'll be there broadcasting Normal Show live from the Portland Hemp Stock. You can learn more about it at hempstock.org. That's S-T-A-L-K, like a stalk of hemp. Hempstock.org for more information. And if you'd like to get your Normal Chapters calendar up on the National Calendar of Events and mentioned on this podcast, send me an email at stash@normal.org. It's a Normal shout-out. In our shout-outs today, we call out to the people in the great state of Nevada, both the Las Vegas area and the Reno area, as well as folks all around Nevada who are interested in forming a new chapter of Nevada Normal. We've had some issues with the current chapter, and it looks like we're going to need to reform here. So, if you'll send me an email at stash@normal.org, I'll get you started. Also got some emails from folks in North Carolina who are trying to track down the Charlotte area Normal that we seem to have lost contact with over the years. If any of the folks from Charlotte are out there, from Charlotte Normal, send me an email so that we can get you back on the board. Otherwise, I'm going to start recruiting people to form new chapters in Charlotte and all around North Carolina. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin with breaking news of multiple raids in San Diego County on various collectives and dispensaries from the San Diego Police Department and San Diego Sheriff's Department, aided by the DEA. Normal of Waco, Texas, makes a big splash in the local Waco Tribune with news of a medical marijuana patient standing up for his right to use the most effective medicine for his condition. And Reefer Madness from Aspen, Colorado, as I take a look at a letter to the editor to the Aspen paper. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we continue our Urban Week, or maybe it's our Lion Week, with the artist Lion Face and his song Smoke All Day. In our Cannabis Science segment, we visit with Dr. Mitch in an interview from the archives on cannabis etiquette, and all that and more is coming up now on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Multiple raids on collectives and dispensaries in San Diego. From the last blog on Earth, San Diego City Beat. The San Diego Police Department and other county law enforcement agencies are conducting a sweeping raid on marijuana dispensaries this afternoon. As of this writing, City Beat has heard that Green Cross Collective, Total Care Collective, San Diego Discount Caregivers, Hillcrest Compassionate Care, Downtown Kush Lounge, Top Quality Collective, Medical Cannabis Providers, and Nature's RX Collective have been shut down by the San Diego Police Department and their owners arrested if they were present. Sources tell City Beat that the owners have been given 48 hours to provide proper paperwork for their shops, but everything is very tentative at the moment. Amy Roderick, a spokesperson for the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency, says the DEA is involved in the raids currently being conducted by the San Diego Police Department and San Diego Sheriff's Department on medical marijuana dispensaries. She said DEA is involved, quote, in a support role, end quote, but she said she didn't know if DEA agents were actually making arrests. Randy Wall is a 52-year-old AIDS patient and volunteer at Hillcrest Compassionate Care, one of the marijuana dispensaries raided today by San Diego Police Department. Wall said he has been a member and a greeter for the store for a year, about as long as the place has been in business. Wall said they were preparing to shoot a TV commercial at about 11:30 a.m. when police arrived. Wall had been cleaning out a back office. Quote, when I walked out, we heard the cops were coming, but we said, be cool, be cool, he said. We thought they were going to check our permits, but there was like 20 cops with guns drawn and battering rams. We told them we would unlock the door if they gave us a second. We said, hold on, hold on, we'll let you in, but they busted the door open. Then they busted down another door that was locked. There was nothing in there. It's a bedroom where someone sleeps. We have one person stay there. We have to have a security guard in there 24 hours a day. It seems to me that everybody that worked there got arrested today. They handcuffed everyone. Everybody that worked there was in handcuffs that I saw, Wall said. We all know the San Diego DA and Sheriff's Office have made overturning Prop 215 their reason for living, so police and sheriffs raiding dispensaries isn't surprising. But the DEA was involved in a support role. Didn't the president say that there were much more pressing issues for his Justice Department to deal with?
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue, simply because I want folks to be investigating violent crimes and potential terrorism. We've got a lot of things for our law enforcement officers to deal with.
And didn't the Attorney General say that Mr. Obama's campaign promise was now Justice Department policy?
Well, what the president said during the campaign, you'll be surprised to know, will be consistent with what we'll be doing here in law enforcement. He was my boss during the campaign. He is formally and technically and by law my boss now. And so what he said during the campaign is now American policy.
This can't be a raid over a paperwork issue. That's a misdemeanor. And generally, cops don't come with guns drawn and bursting down doors to serve misdemeanor crime warrants. This is all about San Diego wanting to shut down the dispensaries by any means possible. The new Southern California Normal is following these raids, and you can contact Craig Barish at craigbarish@normalsc.org if you have any news to report. That's C-R-A-I-G. B-E-R-E-S-H at normalsc.org. Normal of Waco making news in first month of existence. As outreach coordinator for Normal, I am fostering chapters all across the country. It's hard to know what's happening on the ground when you don't live there, so I encourage chapters to fill me in through emails, phone calls, and by following their websites, calendars, and blogs. As an old musician friend of mine once coined Lawson's Law, if you ain't appearing, you're disappearing, which meant at the time, if you had no gigs, you had no band. More broadly for Normal chapters, it means that if you're not holding events and making news, you don't exist. So my greatest thanks to Cliff Duvall and the good people at Normal of Waco, Inc., who in just 1 month of existence have gotten spectacular coverage in the Waco Tribune. Alan Carruthers of Waco said he was 18 years old the first and last time he tried marijuana. It didn't do much for him. Until this year, he saw no reason to try it again, and he dismissed arguments for decriminalizing it as pothead talk. It took a 4-year struggle with myelofibrosis to change his mind. His leukemia-like bone marrow disease gives him constant bone pain. The chemotherapy gives him nausea that makes him vomit daily. The Vicodin, Ativan, and other drugs he's taking to relieve those symptoms are losing their effectiveness, and he's afraid of getting addicted to them. So now, at age 44, this Christian family man and lifelong Republican is considering medicating himself with marijuana, and he has become an unlikely advocate for the right to do so legally. Carruthers has written lawmakers arguing for decriminalizing medical marijuana. He even has signed up with the new Waco chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, which advocates medical marijuana as the first step in a larger decriminalization effort. He acknowledges that this stand puts him in unusual company. The Waco NORML group is focusing on medical marijuana as its primary issue. The group, which meets monthly at Papa Rolo's Pizzeria, has signed up 37 members. Cliff Duvall, the group's founder, says he uses marijuana for chronic pain stemming from combat injuries in Vietnam. He said he was an Air Force sergeant during the 1975 Saigon airlift and suffered a blast that resulted in injuries to his legs, eye, and head. Now a 100% disabled veteran, Duvall said he started using marijuana to fight nausea caused by his injured eye, which eventually was removed. He said he would like to be able to grow marijuana legally for his own use. Quote, I hope we can get an understanding with local government that we're not trying to turn this city into a bunch of potheads, he said. We're just trying to make sure that people who need this medication can get this medication, end quote. Carruthers said he has been frustrated by the negative responses he has gotten from politicians he has written about the medical marijuana issue, including Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson. Quote, what would she do if she were in my shoes, he asked. What would politicians do if they had to suffer and puke every day? Not that I wish that on them, but if there's a sin I've committed, it's that I've been close-minded. I used to feel that way too, that there was no reason for medical marijuana until this happened to me. End quote.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Reefer Mad in Aspen. From a letter to the editor at the Aspen Times.
As the medical marijuana articles continue to appear in newsprint, I think two points need to be made. One, a warning to all recreational and medical marijuana smokers. Eagle County Sheriff's Office and State Highway Patrol have trained officers to look for not only DWI alcohol drivers, but also DUI marijuana users. The THC chemical, making up 60% of each marijuana plant, recreational or medical marijuana, is 10 times stronger than the 1970s, per the June 2009 United Nations World Health Report.
Where do I get me some of that 60% THC pot? Most good bud is around 7% to 10% THC, with exceptions found as high as 35%. Even seized hash has been averaging only around 20% THC. Plus, high-quality pot has always been available, even in the 1970s. I mean, look at the hairstyles and the clothes. Do you think those people were smoking weak marijuana?
THC can stay in your blood for up to 56 days. Guess what that means?
No. THC metabolites can stay in your urine up to 56 days, more or less. Guess what that means? Nothing!
If a cop thinks you're drug impaired or asks you to take a drug test and you test positive for marijuana, the current state and federal laws say that is a crime.
Yes, yes they do. What they don't say is that you're impaired. They say you're guilty of the crime of driving while impaired, but they do not actually serve to prove any impairment.
Remember, if you have an accident and your brain has slowed down due to marijuana use, you are on your way to the court and possibly jail.
Brain is slowed down? Name the game, mister. Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, Boggle, Scrabble, Logic Problems, New York Times Crossword, and I'll give you a good run for your money even while pulling bong rips off a roar.
2. Recreational or medical marijuana is grown by unregulated medical warehouses in America or in Mexico that have no oversight, quality control, testing, or inspection by the FDA or any other state or U.S. government agency. So to anyone smoking, inhaling, eating brownies, etc., the THC goes to your blood and directly to your brain.
Yeah, the THC goes to the blood and the brain. As our president once remarked, that's the point.
Why would our citizens use a product that has no testing or quality control and could be poison?
Well, many of our citizens are growing it themselves, or know their grower, and know it isn't being poisoned. Last time I recall anyone being poisoned by weed, it was the U.S. government spraying Mexican marijuana fields with toxic paraquat in the 1970s, or modern-day dealers loading up baggies of weed with lead or glass to increase the weight. These kind of things don't happen with regulated marijuana. But there is the point that unregulated marijuana could have molds, fungi, or pesticides, and again, it's exactly why we're lobbying for legalization.
There are 400 different chemicals in each marijuana plant. Marijuana smokers are actually rolling the dice each time they use it. I wonder where the new store owners buy their marijuana, and who guarantees its purity for you to use safely.
Eek! Chemicals!
over 400 of them! Just like nearly every plant on Earth.
NormalCon 2009, Yes We Cannabis, September 24th through 26th, 2009, in San Francisco, California.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary, and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy, the answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling while promoting the message of reform. To donate your song for possible use on the stash, enter it in the next Marijuana Music Awards contest today. Today's urban tune is Smoke All Day by Lionface from Bristol, UK. The band have had success winning trophies for their DJ skills. Lionface is inspired by reggae music. Their music is fresh and hardcore, yet remains versatile. The group show they can blend many different types of music. Lionface says their main intention is to represent people who are struggling but are strong enough to turn the negative into a positive. For the latest about Lionface, check out myspace.com/lionfacefamble. That's Lionface. F-A-M-B-L-E. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Lionface and Smoke All Day.
Three.
Yo.
Three. Three.
Yo. Hey yo, pass it on about this. Joe Lucky. Hey yo, yo.
We smoke all day, we smoke all night. Rehydrate, make me feel alright. Give me the light, make me light up again. Make me roll up again. Me no want no cigar, better you give me the grabber. Two sheet a rizzle, I light up the chalwa. 501 stop wa, bow them one check wa. Bet wa, take wa. Give me another rizzle. If you see me panicking, I'm smoking marijuana. Please don't bother me, 5-0 don't bother. Yeah, cause I'm a ganja smoker. Yeah, if you see me panicking, I'm smoking marijuana. Please don't bother me, 5-0 don't bother. Yeah, cause I'm a ganja smoker. Yeah,
I'm a black token, push with pepper cone. 5-0 probe is scoping, cause still this joy I'm blowing. Even anywhere I'm going. High grade, could never stop me smoking. In the house or in the open, smoking like a chippy. But now my lungs are open. Come out and wait to see me, but still yes I'm growing. Smoke and feel free, keep the truth and growing. For those who smoke weed, keep the high be token.
If you see me panicking, we're smoking marijuana. Please don't bother me, 5-0 don't bother. Yeah, cause I'm a ganja smoker. Yeah, if you see me pan the corner smoking marijuana, please don't bother me, 5-0 don't bother. Yeah, cause I'm a ganja smoker. Yo, yeah. Them a fucking see weed, them better legal the weed. Want to kill all the weed, when that's all I need.
whether happy or sad, me happy walk with me bad. I vibrate, yo, yo. I feel sad, don't be mad. They find it plump on the grill. I feel wisest man, which is King Salaman. That's why me smoke and galang. Smoke the weed and get wise. Make me feeling high, like a carry a plan. If you see me panic, I'm smoking marijuana. Please don't bother me. Five, bro, don't bother. Yeah, cause I'm a ganja smoker. Yeah, if you see me panic, I'm smoking marijuana. Please don't bother me. Five, bro, don't bother. Yeah, cause I'm a ganja smoker.
Who is telling you the truth about marijuana? The government? Scientists? Doctors? Which claims are scientifically valid and which claims are reefer madness? Every Wednesday, we separate the stems of propaganda from the buds of truth with Normal's look at cannabis science.
Well, every week we get to study a little bit of this cannabis science, and it's always fun to talk with Dr. Mitch Earlywine on this subject. This latest study you sent me, Dr. Earlywine, I found this one to be quite interesting. It's a study on pot etiquette. I mean, you guys really get paid to study Puff Puff Pass?
Indeed. This is a federally funded research project looking at how basically, you know, different legal sanctions may have contributed to the way people use cannabis in public settings. But I, you know, I also like some of the caveats here about pot etiquette, and I think Puff Puff Pass is exactly a good, you know, little rule of thumb that didn't show up in these data, but has become kind of its own cultural icon.
Well, what did they find when they discovered the pot etiquette? How do the criminal laws on marijuana affect the way people interact with it?
Well, this is neat because this builds on some work that Craig Reinerman has done, and basically suggesting that, you know, people develop their own sort of social sanctions when people kind of violate pot etiquette. And some of these etiquettes have to do with, you know, keeping things private, maintaining your own space when you're going to use and when you're going to have paraphernalia, and especially if you're growing. And so these, you know, data essentially confirmed a lot of things that we all know, that a lot of people do believe that, you know, there's some definite don'ts, not around police, certainly not in public settings, not while driving in traffic, not around children, and really, you know, not around people who you just don't know. But what I also like is, you know, they sort of frame some of these things more positively, just about, you know, how to be a good neighbor. And they even quote our friends at the Cannabis Action Network and say, you know, don't do things like have overly loud music or too many freaky parties. You know, make it so that essentially you respect the rights of others in hopes that they'll be able to respect your rights as well.
Hmm. Okay. So were there any, what do they find were the sanctions? How does the marijuana community enforce these rules of etiquette?
Well, it's intriguing because some of Craig Reinerman's work, as well as this study from Bruce Johnson's group, have confirmed that some things are as simple as just a scowl or a frown from other users. Sometimes folks who've been using much longer sort of initiate other folks into what the informal rules are, and those often include very direct, you know, information. Hey, we don't do that here. Or, as we might say it, don't Bogart that joint.
There we go. So was this a study focusing on people in an urban setting? Was it did it have to do with festivals? I mean, what's the details here?
So the data were gathered in New York City, and a subset of folks had some really extensive interviews about, you know, generating their own rules, and actually asked about, you know, when are the places that are okay and what are the places that are not okay. And festivals actually came up, and as you can imagine, a large percentage of folks said, no, that's really all right, but that in fact in that very same space when a festival is not going on, it might not be appropriate. One thing that's kind of interesting from a law enforcement perspective is essentially, despite what a lot of law enforcement officers emphasize, the racial differences about public use were not in the directions we would guess. Often you and I have discussed how, you know, more basically folks who are non-white end up getting arrested for possession or public use. In fact, the white folks and the Asians were the ones who seemed to be more willing to use out in public. I don't know if that's necessarily a cause or a result of some of these changes in the legal sanctions and the arrest rates.
Okay. That reminds me of an old routine by Dave Chappelle talking about his white friend and how he talks to the police. And Dave just couldn't believe that somebody would talk that way to the police. So maybe there is something to that. That's kind of interesting. What do you think about, you know, we always talk about the eventual day when America comes to its senses and does some sensible regulations on cannabis, either decriminalization outright or legalization and sales and all that. Do you think ending the punitive measures, the criminal measures on the war on drugs and the war on marijuana would have a significant difference in how people use the substance?
I do think so. And when we think about, you know, sort of the public intox and public open container laws we have for alcohol, I can certainly imagine something comparable for, you know, regulating cannabis use. But also then I feel like we won't have some of these really problematic and expensive things that go on with growing. So, you know, a lot of these folks emphasize that, you know, they don't grow in situations where they're likely to have their plants discovered. And, in fact, when you, you know, thumb through High Times or other magazines devoted to the grow culture, you see how much money, time, effort, and really innovation people put into making things, you know, secret and making it so that odors don't escape and things like that. That's got to add to the price of cannabis in the long run, and it would be wonderful to be able to see these kinds of things go by the wayside so that people can really focus on more important issues in their lives.
So they did this study in New York City, or in New York, I guess, and I'm wondering, I mean, they probably don't have the data on this, but we can conjecture on this, how marijuana etiquette may be different in different countries. I mean, obviously, it must be vastly different in the Netherlands, but, you know, we're talking about other countries like Britain or New Zealand, where there's a significant base of cannabis users and still some fairly punitive laws against that. Do you think there's going to be much cultural difference internationally?
Not in this study, but in Craig Reinerman's data set comparing Amsterdam and San Francisco, found actually that folks with the more lenient laws were more willing to kind of adhere to formal rules about it. We also see across different nations that women are more likely to observe this etiquette more and in more different ways, which I guess shouldn't stun any of the men or the women listening. The other intriguing thing along these lines is just that, well, paraphernalia has a different meaning and presentation under these different circumstances, and I think that some of the innovations in paraphernalia, particularly the use of the vaporizer, may improve in countries that have more lenient enforcement policies about cannabis, and I feel like in the long run, that's going to mean potentially less respiratory harm for the folks who get to use cannabis in those areas.
You know, when I think about this and I try to envision legalized cannabis, I think a lot about tobacco. And I think about how if you go and watch a movie from the 40s or the 50s or even the early 60s, tobacco smoking seemed pretty, you know, out there. I mean, everybody was doing it. It was in the movies. People are smoking indoors. It just seemed like a natural sort of cultural thing. And over the past, you know, three decades or so, we've seen the cultural norms about tobacco change, even though the legality of tobacco hasn't changed that much. I mean, yeah, there's some new laws about you can't smoke in public buildings and such, but I think beyond those new laws, we've just seen a cultural shift in tobacco. Do you see anything like that might be possible with cannabis, either positively or negatively, if it's legalized?
It's curious because a lot of those new tobacco regulations and, you know, just changes in behavior generally have stemmed from the science. So part of why, you know, tobacco smoking isn't so prevalent in films is we have seen some data suggesting that watching people smoking all the time in movies was getting teens to smoke more. I was watching an old noir flick from the 40s, and people were smoking in the hospital.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's elevators, airplanes.
It's really true that we also have much better assessments of the harms caused by tobacco, and that's what led to some of these changes. Well, now that we know, we've had decades to gather data on the harms caused by cannabis and find it's, you know, really not what sometimes folks have asserted. Perhaps that will change patterns of use and sanctions around it. But I would like to see more credible depictions of marijuana in media like that. You know, not that I don't appreciate Pineapple Express and the jocular moments as well, but it's always nice to see someone, you know, be a responsible user as a character in one of these things. And we'll sort of see where that takes us. I can imagine public use being essentially discouraged, especially in the initial stages of legalization, and that there'd, you know, sort of be locations where it would be clearly taboo, more from, you know, social sanctions than anything else. You know, if you see somebody opening a 40-ounce for church, you'd certainly kind of freak out at that,
yeah,
even though there isn't necessarily a formal law saying that that's not a possibility.
Okay. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is that, you know, we end this criminal prohibition on marijuana and then it becomes, you know, socially sanctioned. And I think we'll have a much better degree of control over it just through, you know, socialization than we would through criminalization.
Anytime we try to legislate some of these things that really ought to just be social norms, we run into trouble. We think about, you know, the old laws against adultery or crazy things like that, you know, really just made things impossible when they really ought to have been just simple social contracts between people.
Okay. And just briefly speaking about tobacco here, in one of your emails you'd mentioned you have some folks that are desperately trying to quit their tobacco addiction. Any words of advice?
Oh, indeed. I'm grateful to the folks who contacted me and want to encourage them. Two of the emails in particular suggested that these folks are ready to make a public commitment to start telling other people that they're going to quit cigarette smoking, and I want to give them a big thumbs up because that's the beginning of the action stage. Once your friends know you're not smoking cigarettes anymore, they either freak out and start offering you cigarettes and telling you you can't do it, or they start actually learning to quit themselves, or at least stop offering you cigarettes or asking you to go outside with them when they're smoking, and that can really be an important step along the way. My other big plug is about relapse prevention, particularly with tobacco. There's a lot of craving, but craving comes and goes. It's easy to let a crave ride, to sort of let the urge go up and down. It varies just like hunger or anything else, and you don't have to smoke in order to alleviate that craving, particularly once you're past those first 3 days of really serious nicotine withdrawal.
It's the first 3 days that are the hardest, right?
Oh, it's grueling, and I completely understand, but want to let folks know that people do it every day, and they can do it too.
Do people try to use cannabis in an effort to quit tobacco smoking?
There's finally even some research data on that. I clearly, you know, can't recommend it, in part because they're just such different substances, and feel like, yeah, cannabis can alleviate some of the withdrawal, but usually withdrawal is most severe at times when you need to be at your mental peak, and
yeah,
so cannabis may not be the thing of choice as far as that stuff is concerned. The nicotine replacement therapies are helpful, but, you know, not a panacea. And all in all, the chances are, if you can find something to keep yourself busy, to just use that distraction coping, if you will, you'll be surprised at how the minutes go by and suddenly the craving has disappeared too.
Yeah, I would think there'd be a danger also in the repetitive habit of smoking. And by smoking cannabis, you might be just triggering that habit of inhaling smoke into your lungs, and maybe that's not a good idea.
Well, and then getting folks to gradually turn to the vaporizer, if they're still cannabis smokers, they'll find they don't have that same feeling inside the throat. And that may be a good opportunity to expose them to a new way of administration and decrease respiratory problems in another way.
That's right. Don't carbonize, vaporize. That's what we like to say. Well, Dr. Mitch, thank you for another illuminating discussion on the etiquette behind marijuana. And we'll remind everyone, puff, puff, pass. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org.
for everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today with the reminder that today is 090909, the ninth of such days to take place here in this third millennium. We've only got three left in October of 2010, November of 2011, and December of 2012. And they're always kind of special dates to me because I got married on the first of them, on 010101. It was the first day of the new millennium, and I thought it would be an easy number to remember. Plus, since it's New Year's Day, I always have my anniversary off. So as of today, I've been officially married 8 years, 8 months, and 8 days. By the way, 010101 is special also because it was the first day of the third millennium, and 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3. And for it being the 21st century, the digital century, 010101 is 21 in binary. Now you know how much of a nerd I truly am. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.